from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, the city of Oakland has been experiencing a major boom. The city is attracting more high-tech businesses, a growing number of restaurants and bars are fueling a vibrant nightlife, and housing prices are soaring. But Oakland continues to struggle with a high crime rate, underfunded schools, and a wide gulf between the rich and the poor. We'll talk with Mayor Gene Kwan and Oakland's new city administrator, Fred Blackwell, about the changes and challenges facing Oakland. That's up next, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. According to Oakland's Mayor Gene Kwan, Oakland is hot. The city is going through revitalization, reform, and a kind of renaissance as projects such as Brooklyn Basin and a proposed waterfront ballpark and transformation of an army base take hold. And at last, there's even a somewhat declining crime rate and an exciting and burgeoning nightlife. But serious problems remain, and in this hour, we want to look at Oakland from both sides as we welcome the city's Mayor Gene Kwan and its new city administrator, Fred Blackwell. Both of them join us in studio. Welcome to both of you. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, let's begin by talking about all of this positive waterfront stuff that's going on, and it is indeed pretty exciting. The Brooklyn Basin I mentioned will actually be offering, including 3,100 homes, 12,000 apartment units, a third of them mandated to be affordable housing. And then we've got a proposed ballpark. We've got the proposed transformation of the Oakland Army base. I mean, what are you most excited about, Mayor Kwan, or what is most enthusiasm about at this point?
I think that Oakland, with these transformational projects, and that's what I call them, and I would say Coliseum City would be the third. I expect the Raiders to have a deal by the summer. It is an opportunity to provide literally thousands of new jobs. And the latest unemployment report said that Oakland actually was leading the state in terms of creating new jobs. And these jobs are closely linked to the other issue you raised on our declining crime. And I think that we're in this unique, maybe once-in-a-generation opportunity with the renaissance and the explosion of opportunities to really end some of the cycles of poverty and violence in some of our neighborhoods for good. And that's my goal. As you know, I started out in the school board, and I see it holistically, that you move the whole community, and when you move the whole community, that you can not only have young people recognize their dreams, but we can also maybe end some of the crime and violence we've had. I believe that jobs stop bullets.
Gene Kwan's progressive ideals are still intact?
I do my best. You know, I think that it's different when you're an advocate versus when you actually have to run a city. And a lot of times you have to build consensus. You know, you may be more centrist in where you feel personally, but the most important thing is that you unite the community and try to move forward.
Well, let's talk to Fred Blackwell, who is, again, the new city administrator. And, in fact, I learned the son of Angela Glover Blackwell, someone whom I admire a great deal and who has worked on poverty issues for years, so you come by the lineage here. But the money is still a difficulty. Redevelopment money has pretty much dried up, and that's made a big difference, hasn't it?
It has made a big difference. But I think one of the things that we've done well and that I'm really excited about is that while we have lost kind of the money associated with redevelopment, we've been able to establish some really fantastic public-private partnerships. Our work on the Army base that you mentioned, the work on Brooklyn Basin, the work that even that we're doing for the ballpark at Howard Terminal, all being done in partnership with the private sector. And one of the really exciting things about, you know, working in Oakland at this particular time is that it's not just kind of developers from Oakland or San Francisco that are interested in Oakland, but it's actually foreign investors as well. I mean, the Brooklyn Basin project.
It's a Chinese project, basically.
That's right. It jump-started by one of the largest private investments from China in the state of California.
Old pal of your mayor's, in fact, as I understand.
She's been great at that. I mean, that's one of the things that's been really great is establishing those relationships and bringing them here.
Well, speaking of relationships and partnerships, I know you'd like to bring Lou Wolfe and John Fisher into the ballpark. Just quoting Lou Wolfe here, he says it would be easier to build on Treasure Island. Howard Terminal is close to impossible because of the long-term lease, because of maritime use. I mean, he cited a bunch of things, but particularly, I think, emphasized the toxic problem, waste.
Yeah. You know, ballpark projects are always challenging. When you look at stadium projects and ballpark projects and arena projects, you don't have to look beyond down the street at Pier 30 and 32 to see how challenging it is to do that kind of stuff. However, we don't necessarily agree with that. We've done our homework on Howard Terminal. We've looked at what the infrastructure needs are, what the remediation needs are, and what it will cost to upgrade that pier. And I think while it's challenging, we think it's eminently doable.
Ready to go ahead then, and ready to do more partnerships. So this is all very exciting. And in fact, there's a vote tonight. Let's talk about that on tenants. What do you expect to come out of that, and what are you hoping to come out of that, Mayor Kwan?
Well, as you know, both San Francisco and Oakland have some rent control compared to the rest of the Bay Area. I think that this will continue to make our rent control fair. And as you know, we've been getting a lot of people from San Francisco have been pushed out because of the rising rents. And I think Oakland has made a long-term commitment to try to make sure that we have a diverse housing stock.
And so let me at least explain what this is. So do you want to? Either way, go ahead.
I was just about to do it. I'm sorry. So what we're talking about tonight is how much can landlords pass through to their renters when there are improvements. So the debate is, can they push everything through, or will it be over a longer period of time, let's say 10, 20 years, what it takes? But the key is that no more than 10% of the rent can be increased at any time for whatever the improvement is. And then the second vote will be on whether or not when a new building when a building is newly bought, whether that new debt can be passed on to the renters. And basically the council looks like it's going to vote no, that it can't, that that's not necessarily fair to the renters. And the last point is, how do the tenants get notified when there is a process of raising the rent because of improvements? And there's a debate, is it proactive that do the landlords actually have to file a petition that notifies the renters, or is there another way to do that? So all of those will make it a more stable rental situation for people so that they don't get pushed out of their apartments because they can't afford the rent.
So we're dealing with gentrification here again, just like in San Francisco, yeah. Fred Blackwell. And again, redevelopment money has hurt affordable housing. I mean, it's hurt everything as far as the availability of housing. So this is a step in the direction of at least countering some of what gentrification is wreaking?
It is. You know, and the way I would characterize it is that these issues around rent control and stabilization, I think, represent one stool or one leg of a three-legged stool that really has to do around equity. I think that's one issue. I think the other way that we address this is by lobbying state government and working locally to figure out ways that we can still produce affordable housing in the city of Oakland. One of the things that the council did, which was very insightful and forward-thinking, was preserving some of the money that we do get from redevelopment, 25 cents on the dollar, for affordable housing production as well. The third leg of that stool, though, is really focusing in on people. And one of the things that doesn't get mentioned a lot that's really important about projects like the Oakland Army Base is that we have what we think are some of the most aggressive community benefits policies probably in this nation on that project. Half of the jobs go to Oakland residents. Half of the contracting opportunities go to Oakland-based businesses. We have wall-to-wall living wage and a provision called Ban the Box, which basically means that if you have a prior conviction, you don't get automatically screened out of the hiring process when you are applying for a job at the base. So I think stabilizing the existing housing, producing more affordable housing, and focusing on people so that when we have new investments, the rising tide lifts all boats, all give us an opportunity to make a difference.
But there's a kind of money problem right now. I mean, Deanna Santana, your predecessor, did a liability report, and liability for all debt exceeded $1.5 billion. That's a lot of money. And without redevelopment money, I mean, there are some real revenue shortages here, which for most Oakland residents, I think from the polls and from everything that's come across in programs we've done, focuses on the need for more police officers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think on the quarterly report, which I also signed, we were looking at the long-term liability. Most of that's in pension, and California, our pension system is the California pension system. So part of that liability.
But you got a mayor in San Jose who's trying to really
understand.
That's not New York Park, right?
That's not where I am at. We're basically about 80% funded. That's pretty much the national average. So you can look at the liability because we're a big city. But what is more important is to look at where are our bond ratings, where are our current revenues. So this year we'll be at least $18 million above projections on income, and we will be able to balance our budget. We only have maybe a gap of $12 million or $14 million for next year. And quite frankly, with all the real estate transfers and other things that are happening in the city, that's the smallest deficit I've ever had to close, either as mayor or as chair of the finance committee as a council member. So generally, we're in much better shape than we have been historically. And the pension issue is something that the whole state has to deal with. Oakland's not an outlier there. We're part of the CalPERS system. And right now, CalPERS is 80% funded. So we're in a sort of a medium place. I think as the baby boomers retire, the entire system has to look at what we're going to do when we have more retirees.
Well, where do we stand right now with police officers in Oakland? I mean, particularly in light of the choosing of a new chief and the OPD intending to scrap gunfire detecting ShopSpotter, which a lot of citizens feel maybe shouldn't be scrapped. In fact, we did a whole thing on the domain question here and the Domain Awareness Center. And boy, there were a lot of calls, a lot of emails said, we want this. You know, we don't even care about privacy, where people were calling in and saying. Right. Yeah. Fred Blackwell?
Yeah, just a few points I would make on the police front. First, with regard to the chief search, we are immediately getting that search back up and running again. We did quite a bit of work before, so we think that we are leaving at a more advanced stage than we were before, and so we don't think that this will take long, but that's a high priority for us. Second point I would make is that we have, for the first time in a long time, funded a series of academies, and those academies have been important for two reasons. One is to grow the ranks of the police department and to make sure that we stay at least a little bit ahead of attrition, but it also allows us to bring in new officers that are reflective of the community that we serve and bring some new blood into the department, which we also think is key towards kind of maintaining the momentum on community police relations.
With regard
to the spot shotters or shot spotters, I think that was a case where, as people have highlighted, we are in a challenged budget environment. And I think that the police chief is rightly looking at the benefits and drawbacks to the various things that we're doing. I don't think it's a decision that's been made yet, but I think the chief was really simply calling the question as to whether or not we're getting all the everything that we can out of every dollar that we're spending on kind of crime reduction and suppression issues.
Well, I know Mayor Kwan wants to weigh in here, but let me do this. I know there are many of you who would also like to join this program, ask questions of Mayor Gene Kwan or City Administrator Fred Blackwell. And let me give the number that you can call now. Our toll-free number is available to you. It's 866-733-6786. If you have a question or comment, that's the number to call. Again, you might mark this down and you might want to call us now. 866-733-6786 or email us at kqed.org or post any questions or comments right onto our website, which is kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. You can also tweet us. Our Twitter handle is at kqedforum. Gene Kwan, there is still, I think there was a notion that you'd have 800 police officers within 5 years, and there's a sense that the ranks are not in the number that they need to be or that they ought to be. There are people, in fact, especially in the Oakland Hills, who are hiring private security and putting cameras and so forth.
Well, I think you're going to see the cameras in every part of the community. Let me talk about the police numbers. When I became mayor, we had the lowest budgeted number probably in history, under 600. And we were able to negotiate with the police department union for the first time to get them to pay into a pension. We were able to bring back all the laid off officers that had been laid off the year before, which is why we were so low. And we tried to get a ballot measure to see if people were willing to pay for more police. That time they weren't. So we've been taking the growth in the economy, the the tax revenues of the city have been on their way up, and we put a lot of that, about two-thirds of it, into bringing up the police department. So now we're budgeted for at least 727, I don't remember the exact number, but just over 700. And we've been able to have these academies, which are not only ongoing, but for the first time in history, half of the people, more than half the people, are people of color. Almost half of them speak a second language. And for the first time, about 19% are women. So we have a radically different new police force coming online.
So you're optimistic in the long run. What about the short run? What about now?
Right now, crime has been trending down thanks to the Bratton reorganization and the ceasefire program, which has gotten a lot of kudos. I was just looking at last week's crime stats. Shootings are down 41%. Robberies are down 29%. Residential burglaries are down 33%. Even car thefts, which is sort of the problem statewide, are down 14%. So they're trending the right way. Are we where we want to be? Absolutely not. But it's a very good and consistent trend now for the last 7 months.
Is that trend the result, in your mind, because of the gang crackdown and because of the carrot stick program that you instituted?
I think that the increased police officers, that is, increasing the number of officers, plus reorganizing them so they're geographically accountable to each area. We've literally broken Oakland to five areas with a mini chief in each area and assignments so that I can hold specific officers accountable for specific areas. That, plus the ceasefire program, I think are why we're trending down.
And you're okay with ShopSpotter just being eliminated? That's $264,000.
I'm not. I'm actually a fan of ShopSpotter. But I do understand that Chief wants to look at there's some other technologies and whatever. So I think we're going to be looking hard at all of his options when the budget comes. But I'm a particular fan of ShopSpotter, so I'd actually like to keep it.
Does it help, Fred Blackwell, being an Oakland native in your position?
I think it does. As I tell people a lot, I'm an Oakland junkie and come from a family of Oakland junkies. We talk over Thanksgiving dinner about what's happening in Oakland, and we always are talking as a family about what can be done better. I think one of the things that's really great about this, for me at least, is it's really a privilege. I rode my bike all through this city and grew up around here, and there was always a sense that Oakland was on the cusp of something great, and it really feels like right now we're grabbing the opportunity.
Well, the two big questions here: is it becoming safer? Mayor Kwan seems to indicate yes. And are there going to be more jobs for particularly the youth in Oakland?
Absolutely. We've been investing and developing in a way that not only tries to bring new investment and new vitality to the city, but also make sure that the rising tide lifts all boats. And I think one of the things that people can expect from this administration is that while we want to continue the really important downtown growth and the focus in on these major projects that have been the focus for a while, we don't intend to neglect the neighborhoods at all. The commercial corridors and on International Boulevard, on San Pablo, on Bancroft and MacArthur are just as important as the commercial corridors downtown. And we intend to focus in on those and try to make a difference in those neighborhoods where sometimes people have had to live through decades of disinvestment and neglect.
And Gene Kwan, we might as well talk about the schools. What's your feeling at this time?
Well, in my State of the City, which is online, I talked about now that we are really growing the economy and that we're starting to get crime to trend down, it's a real opportunity to reach back to those young men that President Obama talked about at the White House just a couple weeks ago. I was honored to be invited along with our deputy mayor who led the African-American Men Commission in the legislature before he came back to Oakland to work as our deputy mayor. There is a group of young men in this country, mostly black and brown, who have been left behind. In East Oakland, the unemployment is three times the national average. It's 28%. It's why I've worked so hard to increase summer jobs. Last summer, we tripled the number of summer jobs that we've historically had. And for the first summer, we basically didn't have an uptick in violence or crime, which usually happens during the summer. And so my goal this year is actually to get to 2,000 jobs, which is how many kids applied last year. I think, as I said earlier, that jobs really do stop bullets, give kids opportunities. So we're working with the school district to build pipelines into jobs. And so I'm modeling that myself. I'm having the city employees look at ways that they can volunteer in the schools. And the first project was just announced. The 81st Avenue Library staff has decided to come in and open on their own time for a couple hours on Monday mornings for the school next door to them so that their parents can have a computer lab. And so we're going throughout the city and looking at ways we can volunteer in the schools, whether it's reading to a kid who's we're trying to get to read at grade level by third grade, or a kid who's in danger of dropping out of high school. In addition to that, we are creating internships for our police department where we still have greater variety but not enough Oakland residents, that we're going to do a partnership with the Academies of Law and Justice in several schools to try to grow our own police force straight from the schools, having them start as explorers, paying for them to be cadets while they're at Merritt College, and hopefully to come in and work for the city. And we're going to do this in many occupation areas. There are going to be so many construction jobs. The three projects that we're talking about will probably create about 5,000 construction jobs. The trades, for the first time, have made a great commitment to have at least 25% apprenticeships so that young people from Oakland can get into the union, can get their union card. So we have this great opportunity to take literally thousands of kids off the streets who now don't have a job, may have been in prison, who haven't had a lot of hope, to get an opportunity to get a good paying blue-collar job.
Still a real disparity, though, in the public schools between the wealthier neighborhoods and the, shall we say, more indigent neighborhoods.
Not as much as the past, Mike. If you look at the scores, and you know, I'm somebody, even though I'm not the president of the school board anymore, I look at their scores all the time. What's been interesting to me to see now that you have schools that are ranking above the national average now in all parts of town. When I was a school board member, quite frankly, it was pretty much mostly the hills, maybe the Chinatown school, and one or two in the Midlands. Now you have good schools in every neighborhood.
I'd also ask you, we're coming up on a break, and again, I remind listeners, if you have a question for the mayor or City Administrator Blackwell, you can join us either by phone, toll-free, 866-733-6786, or email forum@kqed.org. That's our website. KQED.org is the email address, and you can also tweet us. I'm seeing things coming in on Facebook, too. A number of ways, obviously, to communicate with us. What'd you learn from Occupied, Jane Kwan? I mean, particularly since you got a lot of criticism and you got a lot of people really coming down on you with Dragon Fire.
What
was a big lesson for you?
I think we never had had a demonstration quite like that, and we'd never quite had the city so polarized. So one of the things I think a lot of people don't recognize is that on one hand, about two-thirds of the population at that point supported Occupy. But if you were downtown and you're having your windows smashed and you're having drug dealing and shooting in your front yard, you didn't. And so we were very polarized depending on where you were in the city. Now about two-thirds of the city disapproves of Occupy. And so what I find, I get criticized on the left and the right. And what I tried to do was to get as much consensus so that we could make movement as a city. It was not an easy thing to do. It's probably one of the toughest things I've had to do in my life. And so a couple of things I would say is that it was a brand new team when, literally Occupy happened. My police chief was only 3 days old, and city administrator had just come into town. I would have pushed even harder for more time to get people to talk. At that point, the city council was almost going to give Occupy a permit, and then there was a backlash, and then they backed off. And it was really hard. It was very hard to build consensus, and I think it's really important for the city to be as united as possible when you have to make actions that could affect any large part of the city.
Talking to Jane Kwan, who is mayor of the city of Oakland, Fred Blackwell, who is city administrator of the city of Oakland, and your calls and emails are welcome. We'll go to them just as soon as we come back. Again, you're listening to Forum, and the city of Oakland going through a major boom. You may want to talk about that, the really positive and in many ways side of Oakland that is, as you hear, being cheered by the city mayor and city administrator. Or if you have concerns about the city, looking here at a Facebook comment, there's only one relevant question. What are you going to do about crime in Oakland? I think we've heard some of that, but we'll hear more from you when we return. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Our guests this hour in studio, Oakland Mayor Gene Kwan, City Administrator of Oakland Fred Blackwell, discussing Oakland's changes and challenges and many of the good things that are going on in Oakland. As the mayor says, it is hot right now. Even comparing, well, you get the Brooklyn Basin and a lot of comparisons of Oakland to Brooklyn in terms of a kind of revitalization. And, well, you've got the marathon. You've got all kinds of cultural activities. You've got hot restaurants. And you've got a lot of young people. In fact, gentrification is a word that's often used. And Dave writes in an email, may I suggest people stop using that word? Rather use the word progress. It means the same thing, and it's easier to spell. Oakland needs more of it, whichever word one uses. Let's go to your calls, and we'll go to more emails, and you can, of course, join us in many different ways. Tweet us, our Twitter handle, at KQED Forum. Here's Joanne from Oakland. First caller, Joanne, welcome.
Oh, thank you. I was calling. I think things have, in many ways, improved in Oakland, but I think a lot of that's overshadowed by an increasing homeless population and an increasing crime that I've been in Oakland for 13 years, and I really do see that things are getting worse along with getting better. So I think people are afraid to take advantage of, say, the growing art community. People are a little hesitant to come out and explore the new restaurants because of the crime, and the homeless population makes it difficult.
Let's talk for, we want to go back to crime in a moment, but maybe Fred Blackwell, we can get your thoughts about the homeless situation. There's this Henry Robinson Multi-Service Center, and it's been pretty positive, actually, on that score and for terms of the homeless.
Yeah, and we've also established some very good partnerships with Alameda County as well. I think that we've got a very focused and dedicated staff of people who are focused not only on this issue of providing shelter, but more importantly, long-term housing, permanent housing for folks who are formerly homeless. You know, I came from San Francisco's redevelopment agency where we made very large investments in that. And I think long term, that's the investment that we have to make in terms of addressing homelessness. So I think we while we do have an issue, we're heading in the right direction there.
And in terms of crime, I just want to say there's a tweet. Mayor Kwan just told you Oakland's getting safer. It isn't. The murder rate dipped last year, but it's way up this year. And the fact, Mayor Kwan, is that some people feel it's moving through different parts of the city. There's more home invasions in higher income neighborhoods and more robberies in the higher income neighborhoods.
So let's talk about two things. First of all, if you're the city's changing and things are shifting, the actual homeless census that we take every year, it's actually down. And we've done a pretty good job of housing a lot of the senior veterans thanks to the Obama initiative. So it depends on whether things are up or down, or depends almost neighborhood by neighborhood. Citywide, and I know it doesn't make people necessarily feel better if the homeless people have just moved into your neighborhood or they're more concentrated in some neighborhoods right now. But the actual number of the homeless count that we do, and I always go out on that count, is actually down. And we built a lot of affordable housing the last 3 years, 1,700, of which many of them went to taking some of the homeless veterans off the streets permanently. The Gateway Project is 50% homeless veterans, for instance. They used to mostly be on the downtown streets. They're now housed. So it's more complex. And I think that's the same with crime. There was particularly with the cell phone rash that both San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose were all having, that we were having a lot of robberies downtown because of the cell phones. But since we've been able to take out some of the gangs, those have come down. So as I said, robberies are down a third. But if you're robbed, that doesn't make any difference.
You hear a lot of stories about people going to restaurants and actually getting held up, you know, right in the city and everything. It doesn't exactly help business. And obviously it hurts the city.
And that was more in the beginning of the year. And as the gangs that were organizing the cell phone robberies got arrested. You can look at the spots. I look at these maps that have pink spots where, and you could see there was a big shift last year to the downtown area as people began to organize the cell phone robberies. And now they've sort of become pink instead of red, and it's shifting back to the traditional areas where robberies are, which is in the immigrant areas where immigrants because people think that they won't report it, are often the targets. But on the murder rate thing, the numbers are so small. So we're about 2 murders ahead of last year. So that when there's so few murders at the beginning of the year, that's a high percentage. But we're pretty optimistic that we will. Remember, we had a 31% drop last year. But we're going to go for at least another 10 or 20% drop this year. Right now, we're running 2 murders ahead. We had a lot of unusual domestic violence, not gangs. street-related murders this year. We had the boy who killed his sister. We had a nephew that killed his aunt and said it was a home invasion. We had another similar case like that. So our numbers are about where they were last year.
Michael, just one thing I wanted to add to this is that, you know, one of the nuanced benefits to the ceasefire program that the mayor mentioned earlier is that it actually has an impact across the spectrum on crime issues. It gets the most attention because it focuses in on the folks who are most likely to be victims of or perpetrators of violent crime, and that's when kind of gang violence reaches its crescendo. But on a day-to-day basis, a lot of the gang activity in Oakland is actually focused in on robberies and car theft and things like that. And so by focusing in on this particular group of people who are likely to commit violent crime, what we're finding is that we're actually been able to address some of the lower level crimes as well.
But the other side of that is when people have a car robbery or when they have something stolen from their garage or whatever, they can't seem to get the police out. I mean, if the emphasis is more on violent crime, which indeed makes a good deal of sense in terms of a kind of triage, but people who are having everyday, ordinary, quotidian crimes aren't necessarily getting the help that they need. I want to get another caller on, though. John, go ahead. You're on.
Hello.
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you, Michael. Great program. I live in San Francisco. I've been born and raised in San Francisco. I've been trying to get some affordable housing here in the city. Impossible. The affordable housing they talk about is anywhere from $30,000 to $40,000 a year gross, and I'm a retired Teamster. I can't handle that. What about Oakland? What is their definition of affordable housing?
Yeah,
Fred Blackwell.
Yeah, that's a great question from the caller because, the affordable housing industry has become very technical. What folks need to understand is that housing affordability and below market rate can be defined at very different levels. It can go as far as down as an income of zero. That's when I talked about permanent housing for folks who are formerly homeless, whether that's individuals or families. There are dedicated funding streams for that kind of affordable housing. But then there are also at the other end of the spectrum. You have the inclusionary housing programs that are available to people who are at about 150% of the area median income, and that varies depending on your family size, but it can be as much as $100,000-something and could be as low as $40,000 a year based on your family size and income. So there's a wide spectrum there. But both in San Francisco and Oakland, we try to provide affordable housing in all those kind of income stratas.
Let me thank the caller. Here's Joe who writes, in answer to your question about progressivism, Kwan earlier mentioned moving to the middle and becoming more bridge building. What are the specific progressive ideas she had as an activist that she feels she had to change to run a city?
I don't think I had to change any of my ideas. I think the question is how quickly can you move people? So what I'm very proud of is the reforms in the police department. I think we're very close to getting out of the federal monitoring, making the police more constitutional, holding them accountable, doing training. We're going to be doing some very tough work around the remaining two issues, racial profiling and use of force, and making the police department very diverse. Leading on housing, we have, during the last 3 years, taken money that would have been taken back by the state on redevelopment and put it to work in public and private partnerships and nonprofit partnerships. We've built 1,700 new affordable housing units, and I propose what we call the boomerang, that 25% of all our ongoing money coming back for redevelopment continue to be in affordable housing. So when I talk about my 10K2, we've identified 15% of the homes that will be affordable, and we think with the additional money for these green transit corridors that will be able to reach at least 25% of the housing that's going to be built, the 10,000 new units that are going to be built, to be affordable. So we're very proud of those. And the city continues to be one of the greenest cities in the country. And we fight for public transportation, more bike lanes.
Actually, the Brooklyn Basin East Bay Express had a whole article about this, kind of an exercise in eco-friendly, With respect particularly to lessening bulldozing of green spaces and reducing greenhouse gas emissions, this is really get props on that score. Here's somebody who writes on our Facebook page, I live in East Oakland. The crime trends that Mayor Kwan cites are misleading. In my community, it's common knowledge that calling the police is an exercise in futility. Last night, two cars outside my home were broken into. A few nights ago, there was a man smoking crack out of a broken bottle behind my favorite taco truck. Does the mayor consider unreported crime in her calculations?
What I do a lot of, and we just finished doing a town hall in East Oakland, that was the debate, can we change the way we interact with the police? And that's why I think it's so important to recruit more local homegrown officers and officers who speak a lot of different languages. And the two things we've asked every police officer to do is to get out of their car and to talk to people and to smile and treat the community as if they were their own family members. So it's going to take a while to build up trust, and it's also going to take a while for us to build up the police force. We're still way below what we need to do this year. In a few weeks, 40 new civilians will join the force. So some of these issues like reports and other things can be handled and to free up our existing police force to be able to deal with more of the 911 calls like that. And, you know, I'd be interested to have the caller email me about the fact that they made the report and it wasn't answered so that I can check on that.
Well, here's another, I mean, you're getting flooded with these kinds of things. Question, Mayor Kwan, why she doesn't get that she doesn't build credibility because she's been flaccid and weak about bolstering law enforcement. I mean, here you are giving us these statistics, but the perception is that uses words like flaccid and weak about law enforcement.
Yeah, I think I've offended more police officers than any mayor in recent history, but I've also done the work that's required by the federal court. So I don't think so. I think we brought in the ceasefire program. It's finally bringing down crime. The bottom line is what Mr. Blackwell said. In order to bring down crime long term, it's not just about police. It's about programs like ceasefire that take the most dangerous people in the city and give them other options. And that together has brought down crime in a way that it has not come down for a long time. And it gives us some hope that we can do it permanently.
Let me bring another caller on, and that's you, Tony. Good morning.
Good morning. This is a great show, Michael. Thank you so much for having the mayor on. I also just a quick point, you know, I wanted to talk about the stadium issue, but just about crime. I'm wondering what the mayor is going to do about the loitering downtown. I think that a lot of people don't shop in downtown Oakland, especially in the evenings, because they don't feel safe. I mean, I'm blind, and I got robbed at a bus stop down at 14th and Broadway. And I just think that there's just not enough presence downtown, and I just think that really there's something should be done about the loitering. That being said, also, I'm wondering what the mayor is thinking regarding about the stadium for the Raiders and the Warriors. I think it's important because the 49ers are leaving, and I think it really leaves a stamp on a city when you do have two franchise sports teams. And I'm wondering what the mayor's doing about that or where that's at.
Yeah, Tony, thanks for bringing that up. We can maybe get an update on whether the Oakland A's are going to San Jose.
Correct.
Well, I'm gonna answer the crime thing and start the sports things and turn it over to Fred. The 14th and Broadway corridor is something that we've been working on for a long time. And as most downtowns, like, it's very similar to Market. In fact, most days, Broadway's crime is lesser than the Market's crime. But when you have major corridors in big cities like that, you're going to have a lot more crime. And we've actually been working on that. And I see a lot less loitering than we've had. And we've had some places close down earlier and other and we're going to try to get a coffee shop that opens late right near that BART station so that there's more eyes on the street. As in terms of the teams, the articles today make it clear that we now have a potential for site control for a second option for Major League Baseball. And that's what I promised them when I became mayor about 3 years ago when we met with them, that at that time, Lou Wolf says he couldn't stay, that there was no place. Now he's changed his tune. He wants a 10-year lease extension. But, and last summer, you have to remember, downtown was the only place he could be, and now the Coliseum's the only place he could be. The reality is that we're going to provide two options, both with site control, and I think Major League Baseball has to decide. Fred, you've been working with the Raiders?
Yeah, Fred Blackwell.
Yeah, you know, when I arrived at the city about 2.5 years ago, things did not look very good. I mean, it looked like all three of the teams had exit strategies that they were trying to execute. And I think that the city is in a much better and different position right now. We, as the mayor talked about, we've got two viable sites to offer the Oakland A's, and we are in discussions right now with the Oakland Raiders. I think one of the things that I would mention about the Raiders deals and all these deals, I think, because it's an issue, is that, you know, we are not operating from the assumption that we have the money or the political will to provide significant public subsidy for these private facilities. And so the way that we are approaching all these deals is that the city and potentially the county would be looking at investing in the infrastructure around these areas. But really, it would be the teams and private developers that would have to come up with the resources to do the vertical development. And with the Raiders deal, that's exactly the way that we structured this. We just brought in and signed an ENA with a really great group of development entities and investors in Colony Capital and a group called Hiya Holdings out of Dubai. Colony Capital is one of the third largest private equity real estate firm in the world, with holdings that include the Fairmont Hotel. They tried to buy AEG. They were part of that group a while ago, even on Neverland Ranch. And so them, along with the group out of Dubai, I mean, obviously for these kinds of deals, they can always fall apart. These are complex real estate deals. I've done a lot of them, so I know how they go. But I also know if there's anybody I'd like to be sitting across the table from negotiating something like this, it's these kind of people.
Let me go to more calls in just a moment. I want to go to an email here, though, Mayor Kwan, from Robert, who writes, Mayor Kwan should not be allowed to get away with her claim that there is nothing unusual about the retirement system underfunding because, quote, because it is a statewide purse problem, end of quote. Contrary to Mayor Kwan's assertions, there is no statewide purse retirement problem. The state purse system does not provide retirement benefits for Oakland or any other city or county. Purse only pays benefits for employees of the state and only manages the system for cities and counties. Each city and county determines its own level of retirement benefits and is entirely responsible for providing the funding for those benefits. The state contributes nothing to city and county retirement accounts, has no liability for them. If Oakland has chosen overly generous retirement benefits for its police and other employees, it is only Oakland's responsibility to come up with the money to pay for the benefits. I remember when Willie Brown was talking about when he was mayor and saying that every city, and when he was actually in charge of the assembly, that the state, too, were just too generous. There was too many deals made that were somewhat political deals, really. He even actually sort of admitted that on the air here. And times were flush, of course, too. But what about what the caller is raising about Oakland's responsibility here?
Well, CalPERS is the overall mechanism, and we are pooled. He's actually wrong. Yes, we have our own commitments and our own plans, but the overall system, and they set the rates. We choose the plans. They set the rates. What Oakland has done, and we're ahead of most other cities, is that we've done lower benefits for our new employees, including our police, that we are, my understanding, we're 80% funded, which I understand is the average for government big pools like this. Could we be better funded? Yes, we could. Have I put together some reserves? We have. The budget of Oakland was not in good shape when I became mayor. I've had to – we as a city have cut maybe a fifth of our staff over the last 7 years. And however, during that time, we've been able to balance our budget, be pretty close to our budgets, continue our bond rating. We paid down a lot of our internal debts, and we started to put aside reserves for what we expect to be a bump in costs, both in our medical benefits and in our pensions for the future. So are we in perfect shape? No. Are we in the worst shape? Absolutely not. We have done much of what many other cities in California have not been able to do.
Well, with all the criticisms coming in, I want to read a Valentine here. This is Susan from Santa Rosa, who writes, I live in Santa Rosa. My daughter lives in the Lake Merritt area of Oakland. I go as frequently as possible, enjoy the restaurants and nightlife in her general area, which is sorely lacking in Santa Rosa. Usually we walk from her apartment to the many restaurants. Last week we did Greek in the neighborhood, window shopping along the way. I also love walking around the lake and talk and taking in the galleries. I find this area to be very cosmopolitan and culturally invigorating. Let me get to another caller here, and we'll go to Oakland. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. I was listening on my way to work, obviously, and I was noticing the comparisons to Brooklyn. I'm a Berkeley native. I just moved back from Brooklyn last year in April, and I have to say, there Oakland has a long way to go, especially crime-wise. When I first moved back to the city, I still don't feel safe. Literally, in New York, you walk out of the subway in Brooklyn, and there are cops everywhere. there are, you know, police walking the beat. There's actually a presence. Even in, you know, Bedside, you feel safe enough to walk down Fulton because there are actually boots on the street. There was a rapist going around. I walk out of the subway, and there are cops handing out whistles. I've never experienced anything like that in Oakland. And so for the comparison to Brooklyn, maybe in the way of, you know, rebuilding, maybe, but crime-wise, it is a long way to go.
Well, thank you for that call, Jennifer. Maybe we got to talk about community policing here or talk about getting beat cops out of their cars and walking. Actually, just to dovetail with this, I'm looking at an email here from Jamie in Oakland who writes, why is there ticketing for street cleaning only 2 times per week in the hills and 6 days a week for those of us in West Oakland and downtown? There's no way the street sweeping occurs 6 days a week. My car gets broken into. There's not a cop in sight. I park in front of my home instead of where it was broken into, and suddenly the authorities are there to ticket me.
Actually, it's not police who ticket for that, but it's a different division. But let's address the bigger issue. We on the West Coast don't ever have as many cops. So if you even live in the East Coast as the East Coast pays their police officers probably about 60% of what we pay them. We have a much lower ratio. I lived in New York City, so I paid the income tax there that I think probably helped pay for even additional cops on top of that. We don't have enough cops. We absolutely do not have enough, and that's why I did try to get a voter initiative. The police department is now about 50% of our general fund, and so you really can't get many more under the balance unless you want to cut all the other services.
You can't get more of them out on the street?
But we can get them more out in the street, and that's what I was talking about, that one of the things in the Bratton reorganization, by having officers assigned to geographic areas, that we expect them to be out of their cars every day. We expect them to talk to neighbors more. Obviously, there are certain times of the night when there are more calls, and they're not going to be able to do that. But that is an expectation. That has not in the past been an expectation. I expect, I tell every police academy when they graduate, that what we heard in the town hall meetings last year is that Oaklanders want the police to treat them like they were members of their own family, to get out of the car and to smile. And so building that trust between the community, that relationship, quite frankly, is part of fighting crime. We found that as the relationships have improved, that we've actually been able to arrest more people, and we get more evidence against people in violent crimes than we have in the past.
Michael, the only thing I would add is that I think it's really important for everybody to understand and not confuse our excitement about the trends and the fact that this is coming down with satisfaction about the way things are. I think the mayor and I both, and I think the chief would agree with all of us in saying that even though it's going down, it's still too high. And I think that it's just important for the listeners to really know that, you know, our excitement about the trend is not a satisfaction with the status quo.
Well, there's a former Oakland mayor who says he may run again by the name of Jerry Brown, who has is on record as saying maybe you need to push for property taxes, or maybe you need to push something on the ballot to just get more revenue to hire more police. Is that in the cards?
Most of our polls show that even to renew our current measure, which is a combination of 50 police officers and violence prevention activities, that the voters are only willing maybe just to renew that, and even that will be hard fought. So I've pretty much accepted that to get more police officers, I have to grow the economy and continue to invest in that. It helps make people safer, feel safer, and that's absolutely critical. And we need to do that, though, in every neighborhood.
By the way, speaking of former mayors, I had piqued your curiosity before by saying there was a question I always wanted to ask you, and I'm going to ask it now. Why did you remain so, I mean, I respect your loyalty and everything, but so supportive of Ron Dellums? I mean, he was an invisible mayor, and he was an incompetent mayor by almost everybody's lights. But you were loyal pretty much right to the – you and Barbara Lee, in fact, were pretty loyal to the end.
I think you have to support the person who's the mayor at the time. I tried to get him to get out more, to do things differently.
You tried to get him on this program, and he promised he would come on, and he never came on. He never kept his word. I mean, and that was true. He was inaccessible to the media, the opposite of you. But what I couldn't understand was this – it almost seemed like a kind of blind loyalty, frankly.
I don't think so. You have to. I was chair of the finance committee, so I had to work with him on the budget. I think that Ron's weaknesses were that he's a big picture guy. And to be mayor of the city, you have to make a dozen decisions every day. That was very hard for them. So I tried to work with him. He's the man who had the position. And I think we worked with him to do a better budget, to get out there more than he was getting out there to the community.
Do you really think he wanted to be mayor? I don't want to get bogged down in this, but I think, you know, he was pressed by so many people because he did such a terrific job as a congressman. They wanted him to run for mayor. And I don't think he really ever wanted that job.
I think he didn't, and I think he did it because he thought he could make a difference, but it was not a good match for him.
Right, let me get another caller on from Oakland. Hugh, welcome. You're on.
Yes, hi. I'm very disappointed with what the mayor just said about needing to get back up to pre-police staffing, pre-recession staffing levels that were paid out of the general fund, and she's saying that the only way she can get there is, of course, partially to grow the economy, but also through a voter initiative. The city employees were given a pay raise above what they earned before. That was, and the mayor can correct me in the exact figures if I'm wrong, but something like $12 million that would have paid for about 60 more police officers. Now, would they have paid for all that we need? No, but it would have been 60 more police officers. And we had more police officers under the general fund without a change in the voter initiative, that is Measure Y, Measure OO now. We had those police officers mostly paid for from the general fund. So she's cutting those basic services, and police are not the only basic service that have been cut, but she's making it cost more to hire more police officers by increasing everybody's salary before those basic services and police are restored.
All right, Hugh, we're very short on time. Okay. Let me get a response from Mayor.
A quick response. So first, you have to remember during the recession, the city lost about $30 million in basic property tax. And during that time, to not lay off more people, I got every union, including the police, for the first time to pay into their pension. And every other union gave up 9% for 2 years. So when we... What we basically did is restore their pay and give them a very small cost of living increase. They had not had a cost of living increase for about 5 years, so that was just fair. In terms of the number of police, the reason we got to 800 was because of Measure Y or OO. We could not have gotten to that number without that extra parcel tax, but the cost of police have continued to go up, and so it didn't pay for as many officers in the past. But the bottom line is really just the real hit that the city took in the recession.
Thank you, Mayor Gene Kwan. Thank you, City Administrator Fred Blackwell. Glad to have you both on Forum. Another hour ahead. We're going to talk to novelist Ying-Yun Lee in the hour ahead. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of Clos Pegas Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.